101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Listen, tonight's conversation is not about fighting. It's about something much deeper. We live in a city where too many young people believe strength is measured by intimidation, where conflict too often ends with gunfire instead of a conversation. Yet our guest has built a career around combat, no chaos, but discipline. Not anger, but control. He's one of Milwaukee's hometown heroes. He fought on some of the biggest stages around the world, but he still proudly calls Milwaukee home. It's none other than Montel Jackson. Welcome to Tapped In. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for stopping down. I wanna start by giving you your flowers, like, in all seriousness, because I feel like, well, I've watched your journey. I've seen the things that you have done, but you are one of the few people who are still home. And we've talked about this multiple times on the station, the importance of the youth being able to see someone that looks like them, that comes from where they come from, up close and personal, not just when you know, you feel like it, but just on a regular. And that's extremely important. So thank you for loving the city enough to still come back to the crib. It means a lot. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Montel. I know where you grew up, but for the listeners, who is Montel outside of the ring?
Montel Jackson is a person that grew up on the northwest side of Milwaukee, primarily. I grew up in the Meadows. I'm an MPS school. I'm a MPS graduate. I went to MPS my whole life, and I'm one of the people that remain and still believe in the city of Milwaukee and its greatness.
Yes, absolutely. So, how did your journey begin? Like, what happened in your life that made you be like, yo, I want to do this?
My junior year in high school, I ended up getting in trouble. I got a referral, and one of the security guards, Mark Jones, God bless the dead, he had made like a deal with me that if I went and tried out for wrestling for a season, that he'll talk to the teacher and I won't be in trouble or whatever if I hold up my end of the deal. So I end up doing it, and I end up taking a liking to it and figured out I was good at something. And from there, I just kept at it.
So you started with wrestling first?
Yep, I started off wrestling. My junior year, I never wrestled a day in my life.
How did you do?
I did pretty good.
So what happened where you transitioned from wrestling into the UFC world?
So right after high school, my grandparents end up getting sick, so I end up staying back to just take care of my grandparents and then just see them for their last, like, a couple years of their life.
Yeah.
My granddad had, like a heart failure, and then my grandma had, like, a real, real bad, like, case of Alzheimer's. So, like,
okay.
At any day, it was, like, it could be over.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to miss out on that. I love my grandparents, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. So, like, I didn't care about nothing at that point but just, like, trying to be around to see him off, you know?
Yeah.
And my friend Devon, he ends up calling me, like, right at the Olympics, end up getting dropped. Like, the wrestling guy dropped from the Olympics, he ended up calling me, like, Montel, come down to the gym. Mm-hmm. Just come wrestle around with me. And he had been talking about MMA, and, like, he's going to go out for MMA, do MMA, like, our whole time in high school. So, yeah. Like, I wasn't kind of shocked, but I was like, all right, I come over and wrestle around with him. And I end up meeting this little Puerto Rican dude named Gato, and he ended up, like, start teaching me, like, jiu-jitsu and stuff.
Yeah.
And from there, I did my first tournament, and he was, like, talking me to, like, Montel, you could be champion. Like, you could change your life. Like,
yeah.
Like, you good at this. Like, you just naturally good at this. Like, you should join this gym and do MMA. And then from there, like, I didn't look back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a story right there. The things that you faced, the challenges that you faced emotionally when it came to your grandparents, amongst other things, is that the inspiration you utilize in the ring?
No. No, not really. I really don't try to think about anything in there but just being focused on the fight and what's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
If you fight from a standpoint of emotions, you're going to lose.
Mm. Yes.
Because you're not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
And once that adrenaline wears off from that emotional rush, you're done. Yeah. And you're in trouble.
You're going to get choked. Beat in that ring for sure, for sure. So you grew up on the northwest side, the Meadows to be exact, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Now, we all know, well, I don't know if the younger generation know, but we all know that there was a stigma when it came to the Meadows back then. Not necessarily anything bad, but it's just that y'all
they
was
jumping you.
Yeah, you was brought jumped. Up a certain way.
You getting jumped.
Absolutely.
They're jumping you. If you fight one of them, you fighting all of us. So, like,
yes, indeed.
They jumping you. And that's really how, like, we're really, like, I became good at fighting. Like,
yeah.
Some of my friends to this day, like, we became friends because we fought each other every day.
Yeah.
So like, we wasn't ever like big into like, you know, going to get a gun or like,
yeah,
you thinking you tough because you got a gun. Like,
yeah,
if you thought you was tough or you thought you was bad,
don't fight me.
You got to fight them. Yeah. You know? So like this whole stigma of like people just going to go get a gun and all that stuff. Like, I don't come from that era.
Yeah.
That's some of like this new generations that been misled. But it's like, no, man, like, you're not bad.
Yeah.
Like, if you end up, you know, using a gun on somebody the wrong way, where you going? Ain't no guns.
That's right. Come on now.
So like, you got to know and understand that. Ooh,
that's a bar. Come on. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, things that you learned from growing up in the Meadows and that area in particular, is there something from that time frame that taught you how to take that and use it as inspiration while you're fighting? Like, what part of Milwaukee lives in you when you step inside that ring?
Without a doubt, the north side.
That's right.
Without a doubt, the north side.
Yeah, so you whoop them like you getting jumped. Like it's more than one person.
Yeah, like you'd be lucky to get a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like everybody, like they fighting you.
Yeah.
And like, ultimately, if you jumped, if you lost, you got jumped. They jump you regardless. So like, you better be ready to fight for your life.
Yeah.
And secondly, it just like, it feels so nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
Like growing up over there, like, I worked at the store. That's like part of my, like, my nickname is Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up over there. I worked at the convenience store. I worked at the liquor store. So like, I came across all different types of people, good and bad, you know? And I felt like each one of them people taught me something.
Yeah.
Whether I wanted them to teach me something or not, they taught me something. And one of the biggest things is like, always be confident.
Yes.
Like, being aware and being like sure of who you are without somebody having to tell you. You don't got to be what people want you to be or think you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And if all else fails, just work hard.
That's right.
Work hard. You can never go hard. You can never go wrong with working hard.
That's right. So you've traveled with UFC. You've been all around the world fighting. What is one misconception, if someone that wasn't from Milwaukee, what is one misconception that they have about people from Milwaukee?
They think we are farmers.
Absolutely. Like, it's just a whole bunch of animals and dairy running around here.
Yes. They think Wisconsin, when they think about Wisconsin, they think about farms, cows, beer, ice cream, cheese, bratwurst. They don't think it's like people here. They don't think it's black people here. They don't think it's like ghettos, or they don't think it's bad here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like that caused some challenges when it comes to you entering the UFC world? Like, I know in certain arenas that I've worked in, people, because they don't understand or have never been here, they automatically assume that we're not built a certain way. So they like to test you a little bit. Do you feel like you've met people like that in the ring? It was like, oh, he's from where?
No, they know. If you fight anybody from Wisconsin or you fight anybody from the Midwest primarily,
yeah,
it's tough blue-collar people.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, people just knowing and understanding that, like, the weather here.
Yeah.
The winter times are super brutal. So, like, if you still getting up, going outside every day, going to work, still living, like, a regular life,
mm-hmm.
and this in that type of climate, like, you got to be tough. Like, you got to have some type of, mental fortitude and be able to, like, withstand, like, certain amounts of stress. So, like, they know.
Yeah. But that's a great analogy, a great way of thinking of things. I had never thought about that, because it does take a lot. It take a lot to get up out the bed, to go warm, put your clothes on and warm your car up, and then just be out and about in that weather, period. So I like that analogy. I think that's something that we should probably talk to the youth about, to get them to understand as far as how to build confidence too, and where they are from, because a lot of times they deal with the same thing. Some people don't respect the city, some people do, but it's an identity thing.
Yeah, like, but not, it never was for me. Like, mm-hmm. I always was like proud of where I came from. Like, like who I am and what I represent and the people that like look up to me and cheer for me, like for me, like that right there is like one of the best feelings.
Yeah.
Because like to be appreciated by like your people and to be held in like high regard is it's like rewarding in itself.
Yeah.
Because like it's not too many people that could look and say like, oh man, like that's a positive person. Like I want to be around that person. Like that guy should do more with kids or whatever, whatever. Like that right there is a blessing for me in itself, because like not too many of us get that.
Absolutely. So how do you maintain the balance of being Montel Quick Jackson and then just being Quick? Meaning, how do you balance being who you are while still being at home at the same time?
I'm Montel. Like I'm not one of them dudes to get on the internet and try to like go viral, or like I'm on here playing a character or like some sort or like gimmick or whatever. Like what you see is what you get. Like I always try to be real and I always try to be authentic, because this day and age, like so many kids get they get manipulated, they get tricked into thinking like their favorite rapper is still out here committing crimes and like doing stupid stuff, or they think like what they see on a movie or what they promote on the internet or whatever is real, and it's not.
Absolutely.
It's not. So I try to be as authentic as possible.
Absolutely.
So there is no confusion.
Absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely. We are sitting here with a Milwaukee legend, a UFC legend, Montel Jackson. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, looking to discover and support local businesses in our community. Then make sure that you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to The Truth in the Morning Show with Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. on The Truth in the Morning Show with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. We have a Milwaukee legend, UFC legend, Montel Jackson, is in the building today. We are talking life legacy. We are talking Milwaukee. We are talking discipline, right? We are talking awe. As you mentioned early, you grew up on the Northwest side, and some of the challenges that not just you, but people in that area had to face was just fighting, being jumping people. You know, all in all, it's a different generation. It was something that I wish still exists in this generation, because we probably would have been able to save more lives. So with that being said, you and someone else can grow up on the same block, right? One person becomes a professional athlete, another ends up in prison. What do you think separates those paths?
Confidence. Being able to stand by yourself.
Yes.
Being able to see everybody going one direction and you go that other direction on your own.
Yes.
So like for me, like it's a little worse. Like majority of my friends, well, like a lot of, like, yeah, I won't say all, but the majority of my friends, they either dead or in jail.
Yeah.
So like when I go to like my parents' house, or I go by like their people house and stuff, it's like pictures I don't even look at, because like it's all of us and then it's just me. Everybody dead or everybody in jail but me. So like it's always like a constant reminder. Even like going to like some of like the, like riding through like some of the neighborhoods and stuff I used to be in and hang out in, like it's nostalgic, but then it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, like all my friends are like gone and it's just me. So like the biggest thing for me was just confidence. Confidence. Not being able to stand by myself.
Absolutely. So how do you keep your mental, like my biggest thing is whenever I move back home is it's hard. The reason why I leave, because it's hard to heal in the environment that made me sick, right? Similar to what you mentioned, when you go certain places, there's good and bad memories, right? How do you deal with that mentally? What is your escape outside of the ring?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like I'm still here. I'm resilient.
Yeah.
So like everything that could have like took me down or like put me in jail or caused me to die or whatever, like I beat everything.
Yes.
I beat all odds. I be all like the statistics. Whoever came up with them numbers were dead wrong.
Come on now. Don't count me out because they can't count.
Hey, they can't count at all.
Yes, so, like, indeed.
So like just coming through like all that, it just reminds me that I am a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a caller on the line, Doreem. He wants to tap in with Montel. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Great, great. How you guys doing?
All is well.
Doreem, what's up?
What's up, champ? How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. How are you?
Good, buddy. Good, good. I just got off of work. I'm tuning in now. I'm tapping in, I should say, right?
Absolutely. Do you have a question for Montel or a comment?
Yeah. I was thinking last time I seen him, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but what's on the stages for him? I mean, where's he going to be at in the next year here, year and a half? Are we going to see my man fighting for a belt here soon? Or, you know, what's going on with that?
Man, God willing, man. I go out here, I knock out like three of these dudes in a row, man. I'd definitely be fighting for one of them belts.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then another thing I wanted to say was, what's going on? Are we going to be seeing more Montel locally?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm going to try to get out there a little bit more and try to just, like, you know, pop out to some local events that, you know, I can support youth-wise and, like charitable.
Nice. You know, we got this event going on in South Milwaukee, right over at that 920 Milwaukee Avenue. They got where they're watching that soccer game with the U.S. game. You should make your, you know, a run out there too. I think you'd meet a lot of people that would support you.
Most definitely. You gonna be over to Doreem? I'd definitely come through.
I mean, if you are, yes. You know, I'll make my way out there. But you know how I am. I'm so busy with this, you know, cooling season. It's only if it's needed. You know what I mean? I'm out there.
Man, when you're doing a couple of your little HVAC jobs or whatever, man, we can definitely come over there.
Yeah, and then do something like this, man. This is awesome. I love seeing this stuff, man.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for all the support.
Definitely, man. Thank you guys for answering my call. I didn't know how this would work or anything. I see it says call in and tap in. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. Thank you for tapping in with us. And thank you for not just supporting, you know, by calling in, but just supporting Montel overall.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you, guys. You guys take care. Champ, I'll see you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. So we know that you are amazing at what you do, right? But we also know as adults that there's only so much talent has to do with it. How much of success comes down to talent, and how much comes down to decisions?
Talent can only take you so far. Mm-hmm. Sometimes talent will take you or get you in rooms that your character not ready for.
App, come on now.
So ultimately I've seen fighting and just being around sports in general at the highest level that coaches will take a guy with good character over a guy with bad character and good talent any
yes.
day. Because they're going to look at that guy as, like, he's going to be a cancer.
Yes.
He's going to negatively influence the teammates around him. They don't want that. They don't need that. So for me, like, decisions is everything.
Yeah.
Because it only take one bad decision to cost you everything.
Yeah.
So, like, I always think and, like, weigh my options before I do anything. If I got to think about what I'm about to do, I shouldn't be doing it.
That's right.
It's going to be a no.
That's right. So, to me, that means that character outweighs talent, right?
Every time.
While you're building your talent, build your character at the same time. And if you aren't building both, then you probably should not be utilizing your talent in any capacity.
You should definitely, most definitely utilize your talent, but, like, Just like you working on whatever you're talented at, you got to be working on your character.
Absolutely.
If you got a bad attitude, you need to work on your attitude. Just like, you know, you work on your talent. If you got a poor work ethic, you just work here and there or whatever, like, you need to work on your work ethic.
Yes.
If you have a hard time working with people, you need to work on that. If you got a hard time with, like, self-accountability, you got to work on that.
Yep.
If you got a hard time adapting to changes and things not going right or whatever, you need to work on that, because all those play a part in your success ultimately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The phone lines are blowing up. We got caller on the line. Lindsay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for tapping in. Do you have a question or a comment for Montel?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment quick. Montel Jackson, a huge fan. He's a teammate of mine. I just wanted to call in, show him some love. He's the reason why I'm doing this. So, brother, I love you. Thank you for inspiring me.
Thank you, Lindsay. See you tomorrow at sparring.
Yes, sir.
Montreal, we got Montreal on the line. Montreal, are you there?
Hey, what's up, Queen? How you doing?
All is well. How are you? Thank you so much for tapping in. Do you have a comment or question for Montel?
Absolutely, Montel. You know, we love you. Family proud of you. What's a question that you wish people would ask? Like, I know you with Jazz, and she's the greatest, but, like, what's that intellectually deep, stimulating question that people usually don't ask you when you do interviews?
Why? The why. What's my purpose in me doing this?
We haven't even gotten there yet. But thank you for asking that. Absolutely. Absolutely. What is your purpose?
My purpose in doing this is to win.
Yeah.
It's to be the ultimate competitor. It's to win and to ultimately inspire, like, other people to, like, follow their dreams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you can see, it worked, because the last caller just stated that they're doing it because of you.
I used to call Lindsay every week. Yes. Every time I saw him, man, tell him, like, man, utilize your talents.
How'd that make you feel when you get calls like that?
It make me feel good. Like, you know, like, I'm supposed to be like this big macho dude or whatever, and I'm usually, like, super stoic. So, like,
yeah,
not too many things in this world make me happy. So just hearing that, it makes me happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have the caller on the line. The caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Brother Jackson, salute to you. And I don't follow UFC, but I will now that I know that someone from my community is rising. And I hope that along with you, with that, your character will change some things. Because what happened at the White House, and I know probably being involved with the UFC, you can't speak on it, with Josh Hokit and the things and the lies that he told about our forever First Lady, Michelle Obama. I hope that in the same powerful, classy way that President Obama and Michelle Obama have responded to all the racism, I hope that your light that I can hear over line becomes far more popular than the divisiveness that was allowed at a place where slaves built. You know, so being from Milwaukee, I know you know it's called one of the most segregated places in America, but just I'm listening to you and your friends talk, and Jazz can probably speak to this too. Regular people, even in the communities that they say, you know, people of different races and different cultures don't get along, regular people, day-to-day people, many times become family. I have people who look nothing like me who I love just as much as blood relatives. And that actually, I don't know if you've spent time in Sherman Park area, growing up in a diverse area like that, where Tony Smith, if you're familiar with him, one of the first professional athletes from here in Milwaukee, and myself grew up playing basketball, is a very diverse area with people of all racial backgrounds, all religions. And so I hope that you are as vocal as you can be about the fact that this place that we live in my opinion, is the last chance on earth for mankind to come together. And Milwaukee is, you know, from our standpoint, we know it's a great example of that on the ground. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, the caller. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We have another caller on the line. AJ, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yo, hey, yo.
Thank you for tapping in. Do you have a comment or question for Montel?
Yeah, I got a question and a comment. Why ain't you in UFC 6, first off? And I want to say, bro, I love you. I live in the middle of Indiana. You are one of my GOATs. When that, you got robbed against Figgy and you got robbed against Rowdy. I believe that. And when you knocked out Damon, that meant the world to me. You are my GOAT, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
You got a comment about the UFC 6?
So, like, UFC 6, like, I know I took some pictures and I did some of the work to be in the game. So, I don't know, like, if I came, like, a little bit after they did the production everything for yeah. for me to be released in the game. But I'm pretty sure I should probably be in the next one.
Absolutely. We're going to make sure of it.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, right? When we come back, I want to talk about violence, not inside the cage, but outside of it, and why those who may... why those may be two completely different conversations when it comes to something like UFC and when it comes to violence. Do not touch that dial. We got to go to break. It's your girl, Jazz. Tyler, we got Montel. Quick Jackson in the building, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, man. We have one of the best to ever do it. A Milwaukee hometown hero, Montel Jackson, is in the building, tapping in with us, man. Thank you so much for joining us today. You have the chat blowing up, man. The chat blowing up. People calling in. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. We want to hear your support. If you have a question or a comment, again, that's 833-212-1017. So before we went to break, I was speaking about the violence in the city as it pertains to the youth. And oftentimes people hear mix martial arts and immediately think violence. But I'm not sure that those two worlds belong together. What is the difference between violence and controlled combat?
The rules.
Okay.
It's rules. Like,
that's right.
It's rules. Even long before the fight, you gotta have like a certain level or ability to even fight.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they're gonna match you up based off of like your skills and abilities. And before that, you ultimately like have combat or you fight somebody, you gotta pass medicals.
Yeah,
and they do a rules meeting, so they gotta make sure like you're in tip top shape and you can actually safely, healthily compete.
Yeah. Yeah, see, and as a woman, right, one of the challenges, I'm being sarcastic, but I am kind of being for real. One of the challenges I face in relationships is I like UFC. I like sitting in the cage. I like the blood on the mat. I like the kicks, the everything you can think of. I'm just like a huge fan. But it's not in a sense of like it makes me feel like I want to harm somebody. It more so feels like an outlet. Like for you guys, it seems like it's just something you're great at, but it's also an outlet, right? You spent your life learning how to hurt other trained athletes under rules. Has that actually made you more peaceful outside of the cage?
Of course. I know and understand, and I can like emotionally like regulate
yeah.
like my responses to people who may irritate me or may want to challenge me or, you know, even disrespect me.
Yeah.
Like I know and understand what I could do to somebody. So like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I don't have nothing to prove to them. It's
yes.
easier for me to walk away than me try to get in, like, a battle of egos and try to prove myself to somebody or something that means nothing in the end because I'm going to win.
Yeah. So it sounds like it builds, obviously it does physically, but it sounds like internally it builds discipline. And then there's something about that type of self-control is powerful to know, I know what I can do to you, but because I know that, I'm not going to. So instead, I'm going to choose peace.
There you
go. You know, and walk the other way. Have you found the opposite that the people most capable of violence are often the least interested in proving themselves? And I know it's kind of rhetorical, but I just want you to dive a little bit deeper into, for the youth that's listening, what is it like in your mind to process in a real-time situation when you're faced up against something and you know what you can do to someone? Oftentimes, our youth are reactionary. But what is it that the process that you go through to where they can, you know, learn from it and then follow behind you?
the biggest thing is you act, before you see a situation unfold, just walk away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get anything positive out of sitting here arguing with you.
Yeah.
You hear the old people say you can't argue with no fool.
That's right. That's right.
Once I try to communicate or I communicate whatever grievance or issue I have, if I see there's going to be no resolve or no, like, change behavior, I'm just going to leave you alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to go the other way.
Because it's not worth it.
It's not worth it, and I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. I always say, like, one of the things during my healing journey, because I'm a retired crash out, so one of the things I've learned to do was, why do I have to get mad at something you did to me? I didn't do it. You did it. You should really be mad because you're the one who did it. Why do I need to become upset over something you did to me and cause I'm going to allow you to disrupt my peace?
I tell people all the time, that's a you problem.
That part.
That's a you problem. That has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And once I come to the conclusion of that, oh, that's a you problem?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can stay with all them problems, yep, and thoughts, feelings, or whatever you got.
That's
and I'm
right.
going to leave you in it.
That's right. What you say has nothing to do with me. I don't want no parts of it. So back to the youth, right? If more teenagers in the city of Milwaukee train in wrestling, boxing, MMA for just 1 year, do you honestly think that it will change the situation that we face when it comes to violence?
Yeah, of course. I think one of the major issues with, like, kids and violence nowadays and, like, conflict resolutions is everybody's afraid to lose. Everybody's afraid to lose.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, I said this on the last segment with Larry Hughes. I don't understand. It's a confidence thing, so it goes back to what you said, but everything is microwave. The youth, they see how you got there, but they never see. They see the inner result, but they never see how you got there, right? So it's like, I feel like they've been trained to not want to lose.
That's Instagram.
Yeah.
That's social media. That's the Floyd Mayweather effect.
Ooh, let's talk
about
it.
Like Floyd, one of his biggest things he had to market was what? Mm-hmm. His record.
Yeah.
His record. And he figured out that majority of people, if I can tie into this character of not getting people to not like me,
mm-hmm,
the people that hate you or that's invested in not hating you, they will pay to see you lose, or yeah, they will pay to see that,
yes,
your downfall, your demise, your loss. Like,
absolutely.
I don't like this guy. So, like, that's one of the biggest things. No one wants to lose. Especially, you don't want to lose in front of a million people.
Yeah.
Like, soon as most people start fighting, they're going to pull out a phone. So, yeah, like, most people, they're going to realize, I'm going to be all over the internet. It's always going to be this video of me losing. And they think it just stopped there. Like, no. Like, in life, it's all about the people that fall down.
Yeah. It reminds me of that clip from Friday. We say, put the gun down, son. Craig, put the gun down. You're going to live,
yeah,
to see another day.
Yeah, 100%.
You're going to live to see 100%. Another day.
100%. So, like, once we get past the negative thought of, like, what a loss is,
yeah,
we can go forth and learn how to win.
Absolutely.
Like, you learn more from losing than you do winning.
Losing is temporary.
It's temporary, and it's not even like you really lost. It's just, yeah, like, man, I didn't know what I needed to be successful.
It's a lesson.
Ultimately, it's always a lesson.
It's a lesson. Like, it's never a loss. It's always a lesson because you have the opportunity to do it again.
Yep.
And you have the opportunity, yep, to do it again so you can win.
I seen it a million times. Like, I seen dudes fight people every day. Every day till they won.
Yeah.
They will fight them. Every day he walked home from school, he'd be on the bus that way. And I saw him fight this dude every day.
Yeah.
Until he finally won.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. I used to have to fight boys. My boy cousins. It was one girl I grew up with, Latoya Dixon. I was not a fighter in, like, third grade, but she used to always want to fight every time. Baby. What up, Toya? For real. Because she brought the dog out in me. But I never took it, like, even as a young child, I never took it as, like, oh, I lost. I'm embarrassed. My determination is more so like, oh, you think you can beat me? Let me show you why you wrong. So, I'm going to play check. I'm going to do whatever I need to do on every level to show you that you can never beat me.
So that, and that's one of the beauties of like losing. It show you where your limits are.
Yes.
It show you if you have limited yourself along the way. So yep. Like losses, they just really expose like what you need to do, where you really at.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've talked about your journey. We've also talked about the youth. And the things that they've faced. What is it, do you believe, that changes inside of a young person that forces them to display the behavior that they've been displaying so far in this city?
The environment. Like, how I grew up, like, you weren't really allowed to, like, show, like, mental weakness.
Yeah.
Or, like cry in front of, like, a group of, like, dudes or, like, you crying about something. Like, that right there was, like, a no-no.
Yeah.
That's just like you bleeding in like a swarm of sharks.
Yep.
Like they gonna just attack you. They gonna attack that weakness. So like we was like I never ever could like show any type of weakness or like show that I was afraid of anybody or anything because they gonna come at you now.
Yep. They sure will. It's okay. Tell them, come on. We got something for them. We got Milwaukee hometown hero, a UFC legend in the building, Montel Jackson. Do not touch that dial. We got to go to commercial break. We want to hear from you. We want y'all love and support. Any questions or comments you have, please log on to YouTube. Hit the like and subscribe button. You can also hit the chat or call us 833-212-1017. That's 833-212-1017. You are officially tapped in. Do not touch that dial. When you step up to their face, what they gon' do? If you fall up in the club and you 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of beautiful downtown Milwaukee. We have one of the best to ever do it, raised on the northwest side, right here in Milwaukee, Montel Quick Jackson. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
It's been an amazing interview. I'm excited. A lot of love and support. I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but I want to touch on it again because specifically for the youth, you deal with youth. I deal with youth as well. And we all know that a lot of situations that's happening in this city is based off emotions. It's not logic. It's just based off of how that person feels in that moment. And then they become reactionary and impulsive. And then they make a split decision, right? So this analogy is something that I want to propose to the youth, but with UFC. When you are in the ring, and you did mention it earlier, but I want you to go a little bit more into detail. How do you stop? Like you can't, you basically said that you cannot win a fight by being emotional. Why is it important to think logically when you're in the fight versus with emotions? And not just a physical fight, it could be a mental fight, it could be physical or whatever, but I just want the youth to take this information and know that when they're faced with challenges, that they have to have this same thought process so that they can get out their feelings.
Sometimes just because something feels good don't mean it's ultimately good for you.
Yeah.
And if you always caught up in your feelings or you always chasing what feels good,
mm-hmm.
you will never do what you ultimately need to do.
Yes.
And you're never going to fully do it consistently like you should to get the result that you want, because you're doing it based off of your feelings and how you feel and your mood for the day.
Absolutely.
People never feel like going to work.
Yeah.
But they got to get up and go to work.
That's right.
People never feel like doing tough things or like hard stuff, but they got to do it in order to be successful. So, like, you never want to be caught up in your feelings or, you know, living, like, or doing stuff based off of how you feel. Because if you go with your feelings, you ain't going to never get nothing done.
Absolutely. Get out your feelings and get in your bag. So, I know with training at the level you have trained, there's not many things that you fear, right? What has fighting taught you about fear that applies to everyday life?
It's not real.
That's right. Come on now. That's my kind of talk.
Fear is not real. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
It's something that you're making up.
Yeah. So
like a lot of times that like people will be afraid of something that's going to happen and it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
It was only them.
Yeah.
So like in the ring and in general, like, you always, 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 always want to be unafraid.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be bold.
Absolutely.
You want to be brave. You know, sometimes it might just take you being like a brute, but you having no thought at all. You just going over there to just, I'm about to go over here and just smash this thing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You want to make it as simple as possible.
Self-control, you know, to the youth that's listening, or anybody rather, self-control is the greatest power you can have. Like, that is a superpower to me.
Yeah, because, like, sometimes just because you could, I mean, you should.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Who taught Montel Jackson what discipline looks like?
Who taught me what discipline? Probably my mom.
Okay.
My mom used to, I used to get a whooping.
That has set you straight, won't it?
Every time.
Yeah.
Just knowing, like, knowing and understanding that, like, hey, man, if you mess up,
mm-hmm.
you getting messed up.
Yeah.
So, like, that right there taught me, like, valuable stuff about like, my behavior and accountability and understanding that, like, whatever you do in this world, good or bad, it's always consequences.
Yes, absolutely.
So being able to like understand or make a good choice of judgment based off of the outcome of the consequences, it saved me a lot of, like, the heartache and, like, pain of, like, you know, getting whoopers, or just, like, ultimately just disappointing my mom.
Yeah.
Like, my mom had to work, you know? Like,
yeah.
I have five other brothers and sisters, like, five mm-hmm. other siblings. So, like, my mom can afford to take off work because
yeah.
I'm acting a fool, or, like, I'm not behaving.
Yeah.
And all this stupid stuff. So, like,
that's consideration.
Yeah. So, like, I was taught early that, like, my actions and behavior, it affect everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, I got to be aware of myself.
That's what I try to instill in the youth I work with. And I'm glad you mentioned that so that they can hear it from someone else too. Because even with my children, I deal with it. It's like, be considerate. Be considerate that someone else is making sacrifices so that you can do what you do. Be considerate that I may not want to do what I'm doing, but I don't have a choice. And I love you enough to do what I'm doing so that you can do what you do. And if you love me enough back, then you will do what you need to do so that there won't be, you know, any problems, any issues. You are successful now in your own way, right? You can bring your life almost anywhere, yet Milwaukee still matters to you. What does Milwaukee get right that people don't celebrate enough?
We ultimately are together.
I agree. In a dysfunctional way sometimes.
Yeah, it take everybody to keep this city running.
Yeah.
So like even like the negative stigmatism, or like the north side or the south side or like the east side, or just like the rough patches of Milwaukee, like, we ultimately are all together and we ultimately need each other.
Yeah.
And if we all want to be successful and, you know, live amongst each other or live separately,
mm-hmm.
we all got to learn how to work together.
Facts.
We all got to work together. And I try to tell people, like, I want for, like, myself,
mm-hmm.
what I want for my friends, or I want for my neighbors.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be successful. I want my neighbors to be successful.
Yes. Yes. As you should. As you should, because when everybody eat, the family don't feud.
Exactly. And, like, rising tides raises all ships.
That's right.
So if I can help, or I can do my part in helping, like, my community or my neighbors, like, I know in the end it's going to help me.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, legacy, years from now, when people say your name, what do you hope they think of first?
Philanthropist.
Yep.
Philanthropist, hard worker.
Yep.
Talented.
Yes.
And, like, ultimately, like, a person that sacrificed.
Yes. A lot. A lot. So, I know earlier we had a caller who mentioned it, but I like to do my interviews a little different before we get into, I'm not a subjective person. So, before we start with, like, the whys and, you know, all about ourselves, I like for people to see my guests as who they are individually, right? Now that we're at the end, why? Why did you decide to do this? Why do you continue to do this?
To be a winner.
That's right.
To be a winner. To be a winner and to ultimately, like, inspire people
yeah.
that, like, look like me,
yes.
that come from situations like similar to mine, and anybody that, like, you know, if you think you can't do it, just look and say, like, he did it.
Yeah.
He did it. Like, and I had to go halfway across the world. I didn't have to go there, go here. I didn't have to sell my soul.
Come on,
I didn't have to, like, be something I'm not. I ain't have to get on the internet saying crazy things or being a clown or some stupid stuff. Like, I did it my way.
Yeah, come on.
I did it, like, realistically.
Yeah.
You know, authentic as possible.
I feel that to my core, because I don't talk often about, you know, my journey, but I echo the same sentiment. A lot of stuff that could have been done, I didn't do. You know, people say, wow, y'all did, you did this, you did that, why you back at home? Because I didn't do what I could have done. I did it my way, and I'm authentically myself. I can still go to bed at night. I can still look myself in the mirror and know that that did not shortchange all of the work that I put in. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with coming back home whenever I need to, because at the end of the day, jazz is still jazz.
Being up, like, I try to tell people all the time, like, if you got a price, you don't got no integrity.
Come on.
So, like, I'd rather be broke, destitute, but still be able to walk around with my head held high.
Yes.
Because I didn't have to sacrifice my morals or, like, ethics to, like, get something.
That's right. That's right.
And I have everything and still have nothing.
It's a great feeling. So before we head out, what advice do you have for the youth? Any upcoming projects and shout outs?
Number one, I want to shout out my gym, my teammates, Pier Vita. I want to shout out City Kids Wrestling, which, like, I came up with. That was, like, the program that got me wrestling. It's a nonprofit in the city of Milwaukee. Shout out to Roger Cordell, Corey Usher, Tony Smith, Mr. Perez, Truman McGee. Truman used to take us around everywhere. my high school coaches, Mr. Kempowski, Kalaji. Our gym offers a youth program for the summer.
Okay.
That's, like, free. And also, if you want to join the gym, it's, like, 30 days for $30.
Yeah.
So, like, shout out to them. And if you guys want to come through, just come through. Just give me a holler. And just ultimately, just, you know, I tell the youth, man, like, believe in yourself.
Yes.
And you don't got to be what people think you should be.
Yes. Montel, thank you for coming. I'm about to cry because I'm so proud of you, for real. I really am. And I love the way the city loves you. And I feel like if a lot of youth see and hear the journey that you've been on, then they can accept the fact that we would love them the same way. So thank you so much for all. I appreciate this conversation, because tonight wasn't about throwing punches. It was about choosing purpose over impulse, discipline over emotion, and proving that real strength isn't found in hurting people. It's found in controlling yourself. Thank you so much, Truth Nation. Tap in with us Monday through Friday. We will be back. Have a great and safe weekend. Time to tap out. 101.7 The Truth. Thoughts white clear when I'm sober, don't pop in no pinks. Pew, pew, pun gun. I'm gonna be shackled in some Cuban links. Wood to the face, getting my feelings, just thinking of meat. Won't feel my pain, I lit through every single thing that I preach. Talking with this pretty thick girl, toes out on the beach. Like, baby, can I pick your brain? I need to free my mind. Got evil thoughts inside my head, won't let it take my soul. The money fast, my heat took, but these streets cold. Land inside a cell for summertime, gon' have you feeling froze. That was my brother, then he told, now I'm all alone. I told baby, talk to me nice, I see she fixed her tone. Lil' baby bad with back on her, I think I might approach. Ain't nobody ever teach me none, but I'm still rocking coach. They said I'm